Thank you so much. I think that God wanted to say something to us here this morning. I think there, every once in a while, I feel that God there's a message in the congregation. So if God has spoken something to you, please come talk to me or write it down or whatever, because I think there was a message that God wanted to give here this morning, and maybe you didn't have a chance to do that. I'm so grateful because we do serve a wonderful God, don't we? We serve an incredibly awesome God, and thank you, team, for leading, especially in that last song. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. And we should never lose the fact of the truth in the name of our God. Speaking of truth, I was talking this week to my girls, well, actually yesterday, and I was wondering, I asked my daughters, who do you consider to be some of the greatest liars? The greatest liars. And you know, it's fun asking kids stuff. I mean, they're not kids anymore. They're older. But my oldest, Patricia, she jumped in right away. She said, politicians. I said, okay, I can probably see that. And then I asked Katrina, who's the biggest liars? And she said, kids. And so, come here. I wanna play on this for just a second. I'm gonna do something really, really crazy this morning, folks. So I don't know where this is gonna go, okay? Because if you know Katrina, she has some ideas. Okay, Trina works with kids. You work with kids at where?
Well, I used to work at a music studio.
So why do you call them liars? The biggest liars.
Okay, well, because they'll be sitting there, and you'll be looking at them, and they have their finger in their nose, and you'll be seeing that they have their finger in your nose. You'll be like, you picking your nose? No. Yeah? Are you sure about that? Or they'll be wiggling in their chairs. Do you have to go to the bathroom? No. 2 minutes later, they'll be jumping up, running out of the room because they have to go to the bathroom so bad. They're going to pee their pants.
So, liars, you're saying that kids are liars.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay, so we've got some work to do with that. Okay, so you heard it from my own daughter's mouth. All right. You never know where it's going to go. But see, here's the thing. There are people that are in our society that are known for not telling the truth. By the way, can I just say something? Part of not telling the truth and of liars is this whole thing called gossip. I found it interesting because did you know that 60% of what is said about an individual is said when they're not in the room? Did you know that? 60% of what is said about you is said when you're not in the room. And I often wonder, I love to be a fly on the wall, especially after a Sunday morning service when you don't agree. I love to be there. But you know, here's the thing. When I was in high school, I remember the gossip that was going on. And you know, you remember that? Okay, you got to go way back, some of you, okay? I got to go back quite a ways. But you remember the gossip that was going on back and forth. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop with high school ages, does it? Unfortunately, it carries on. And folks, can I just say a couple things here before I get into this? If somebody, I've said this many times, please write it down in the back of your brain and remember this. If somebody is gossiping to you, what are they doing? They're gossiping about you, okay? So remember that. If somebody's saying something in a negative way about someone to you, they're saying something negative about you to someone else. I found an interesting thing on the internet, when somebody is gossiping, you know how you shut it down right away? There's one little question you can ask, and I'm going to try this. There's one question you can ask if somebody's saying something about someone else to you. Ask them, why are you telling me this? Why are you saying this to me? Because really, I don't care. Well, you can say that, but we need to shut that down very quickly. Well, let's go back to Nehemiah. See, because Nehemiah, he ran into a lot of issues, and he ran into problems over and over and over again. I love that book. You know why I love it? I was talking to our staff this week. It is so applicable to where we're at today. the principles that we're reading in there, man, do they ring true for us today? So he's dealing with a pack of liars, and he has to figure out, how in the world can I deal with these folks in the proper way? And we're going to look at that. But let's pray first, okay? Father, thank you that in the midst of lies and deception, that there is truth, and that truth comes from you. And help us to hang on to that. No matter what people say to us or say about us, God, I pray in Jesus' name that we would walk in truth, that we would, as your word says in Ephesians 6, we would put it around our waist, put it around the very center of who we are, that belt of truth, and help us to walk in your truth. So now, God, as we look into your word, I pray, would you guide us, help us to remain focused and be glorified as we look into this today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're jumping to Nehemiah. We're jumping to Nehemiah chapter 6. And I'm gonna read some of this as we go along. So first thing we want to look at as what came against him, this man Nehemiah, was deception. Here's what it says in verse 1. When the word came to Sanballat. Now you remember Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. These are the guys that do not like Nehemiah. These are the guys that are out to get him. It came to these guys, to Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it. Though up to that time I had not set the doors and gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. He's saying, here's Sanballat, these three guys. Up to this point, they were doing everything in their power to dissuade, discourage, bring down this guy named Nehemiah. They're doing a good job, at least they thought. But he's not giving up. He's building this wall. And he finishes this wall, and they're sitting there and going, man, we got to go to another strategy. We got to figure another way out of bringing this guy down. So they decided, you know what? If nothing else, we'll go into deception. We'll deceive him. And so let's invite him over. Nehemiah, listen. You know, we were wrong. We should have listened to you right away. We saw that you were building the wall. You're doing a good thing. We want to help you. Hey, I tell you what, why don't you come on over? Let's meet. Let's meet somewhere in between Jerusalem and Samaria. We'll meet in this place in Ono, on the plains of Ono, and we'll sit down. We'll have a latte. We'll have a, you know, sit and enjoy some rays. We'll talk a wee bit. It'll be good. Nehemiah, come on down. And we'll see what we can do. How many of you know that they didn't want to help build the wall? How many of you know that there was more to this than them just sitting down and saying, what can we do to help? They were trying to do something, obviously, unless you're a little slow in understanding this. They didn't have a good intention, right? See, here's the thing, folks. Satan is the master of deception. He will do anything he can to try to deceive us, to get us to do things that are not right. It's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine, Pastor Kevin, over at Cedar Grove Baptist. And we were talking about the summer grant program. Now, if you aren't aware, the government has basically told the churches, look, the only way we're going to give you the summer grants is if you check a box that you are okay with transgender and you're okay with abortion. If you check that box, then we'll give you the summer grants. If you don't check that box, you ain't getting the grants, basically is what they're saying. So Pastor Kevin sat down with an MP, or MLA, should I say, and this MLA said to him, you know, Kevin, come on, just check the box. Just check the box. We know your thoughts about homosexuality. We know you're not going to go out and bomb an abortion clinic. We understand that. But you know what? Just check the box, and we'll give you the money. And he said, Pastor Kevin said, you know, he said, I in some ways, I kind of felt tempted to do that, right? But then he asked this MLA a question. He said, I'm just wondering, aside from the summer grants, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on Soji. And this MLA almost came out of his skin. He says he started swearing at him. He started freaking out, and the real him came to the surface. See, the enemy, he wants us to check the box. It may look like a little tiny thing. Come on, let's just meet out on the plains of Ono. Come on, let's just do this little tiny thing. Who's going to know? God knows. And the challenge is, folks, that we have to be careful. When someone comes to you or phones you up and says, this is Revenue Canada, I just need some information. Anybody ever get a phone call like that? Okay, can I tell you, Revenue Canada never phones you. Okay, so don't give information. When somebody says to you, hey, listen, I've got a great deal. Why don't you follow me over here? We were in Mexico, Michelle and I, years ago, and we were shopping. And this one guy comes walking up to us, and he says to us, you know what? I see, senor, I can't do the accent, sorry, Alberto, but I see, senor, that you are shopping. So why don't you come with me through this alley? And I will show you a very good store. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right, you know. That's going to happen, right? Like, use your common sense. But please, folks, the enemy's going to try to deceive. Okay, this is going to date me, okay? Forgive me. Those that are, like, younger than me, please forgive me. But back in the 80s, yeah, I know, it's a while back, there was a song by the Gaither Vocal Band. Did anybody remember the Gaither Vocal Band? Hallelujah, I'm not alone in this, okay? They sang this song, it's called this, Don't Play with the Devil. And it says this, don't play with the devil, he don't play fair, he's out to get you, beware. He ain't on the level, so you better watch out or you may find out what I'm talking about. Don't mess around in the enemy's camp. Don't go there. Because he's going to pull you in. So what does Nehemiah say? Verse 2b, he says, but they were scheming to harm me. Duh. He says, so he didn't say duh, that's me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Listen, I got work to do. Can you find a good excuse to say no to the devil, okay? Because there's lots of good excuses. I'm not going to step into that area because this God's got me doing something else. But make sure you're aware of deceit. Well, they figured they couldn't deceive him, so they went to the next step. Maybe we can use a little bit of defamation. Defamation is basically attacking a person's character, putting down a person's character by slandering them. Okay? Now, I've been in court too many times, and I've seen people try to slander or defame the other person. And I sat there and thought, man, I am so glad I'm not a judge. Because you know that gavel they use? I'd be using that on people's heads. Like, seriously. I mean, you can't be that stupid to actually think that I'm going to believe what you're saying here, right? But people try to defame. So how did this play out in Nehemiah's situation? Verse 5, it says this. Then the fifth time, remember four times he tells them, hey, come on down. The fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which it was written. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true. Okay, whoa. Well, if Geshem says it's true, it's got to be true, right? That you, isn't that funny? Isn't it funny because one other person that you know has no credibility says it's true. It's got to be true, right? Anyway, back to this. That you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are rebuilding the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king and have appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us confer together. He's putting a little bit of more oomph and trying to get Nehemiah over to the plains of Ono. Now I want you to understand that this letter was a serious charge. What he was saying, what he wrote there, was serious stuff. Because you don't mess with the king of Persia. Okay? You don't mess. Pastor Les was talking about this last week when we were talking about Daniel and the kings at that time. You just didn't mess with them because they didn't look with favor if you're trying to take over their kingdom. They would have your head. And I'm talking seriously on a platter for all to see. Like, you don't mess with these guys. And so what these enemies are saying is you're messing with the king. You're trying to take over that country and you're trying to become king in place of the king of Persia. Serious charge. It's interesting that this letter was unsealed. I find that very interesting because Sanballat wanted people to read it. He didn't close it. He wanted, how many of you know that the guy that was walking along probably was thinking, man, I wonder what this says. Hey, check this out. Check this out. Come here. Come on over here. Look at this. Oh, he's trying to be the king. And you know what? That's exactly what Sanballat wanted. He wanted other people to look at it, especially people in that city that were troublemakers or they weren't really sure about this Nehemiah guy. Well, you know, and here Sanballat was thinking, man, if I could only discredit him in front of those people that honor him, woohoo, I got it. Listen, folks, the enemy is out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I find it interesting when I get people coming to me and saying things like, people are saying, or I've heard from a reliable source, or everybody says, and stuff like that, right? You know those comments? You know what I'm talking about? You know, those comments have destroyed more churches and more organizations than other comments. Because here's the thing. I love to ask people when they say, well, lots of people are saying. Who's saying it? Who are these lots of people? No, seriously, who are these lots of people? Well, there's me. Okay, and who else? Well, there's my wife. Okay, lots of people. That's two. Well, I heard my dog groan a few times. Okay, that's two and a half. See, folks, if there is an issue, let's talk. Let's talk. But to bring in a force of saying, lots of people are saying this, I don't believe it. And that's exactly what Sanballat was trying to conjure up. Remember what he said? He said, hey, listen, Geshem says it's true, so it's got to be true. Huh. Folks, be careful because gossip is deadly, and we Christianize it. Come on, Pastor Jim, think about it. Don't we, some people say, you know, I've heard something, I'm just going to tell you so you can pray about it. How many of you know that they aren't telling you because they want you to pray, right? Folks, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be praying about issues. Of course we should. But can you check into the source before you start saying things? I've said some stuff through the years, and I had to eat crow. Crow doesn't taste good. You know what I'm talking about? When you have to go, oh, oops, I that wasn't correct, and I had to step back. There's a guy by the name of A.B. Simpson. He was the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. He said this. I like this. He said this. I would rather play with forked lightning or take in my hands live wires with their fiery current, then speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ, or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others to the hurt of their souls and bodies. Oh, man. I'm wondering if we can say the same thing. I will not, under any circumstance, bring up stuff that's going to hurt others. I'd rather play with lightning, he's saying. And if we had that attitude, folks, if we had that attitude and say, man, I don't want to go there when people are saying things that are discrediting others, I think there would be a lot more unity in the body. Nehemiah's enemies, they are trying really, really hard to defame him, to bring him down. This is his response. Verse 8, he says, I sent him this reply. Nothing like you are saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your head. He says, man, like what you're saying is a big pile of chicken manure. He didn't say those words, but that's basically what he's saying. It's garbage. It's garbage, and it's not going to affect me. You're making this stuff up, and quite honestly, it stinks. And I'm not going to allow this to take me away from where I should be. Now, stop and think about this, like just the logic behind this, what they were saying. Nehemiah honored the king. He was his right hand, man. He was the guy that would drink poison so that the king wouldn't be poisoned. He was the cupbearer. He was closer than Mrs. King. You know what I'm saying? And so the idea of them saying he's out to overthrow him makes absolutely no sense. Verse 9, he says this. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. He says to his people there, listen, guys, don't listen to what Sanballat is saying. He's just trying to freak you out. He's trying to bring you down. Nehemiah is trying to even comfort his own people. Don't let your mind go there. Sometimes we need to tell people that are starting to believe the lies. They are lies. Don't let your mind go there. Stand for truth and don't be deceived. So folks, I want to encourage you to think like Nehemiah did. He comforted, he encouraged, and then he prayed. It says here, but I prayed, now strengthen my hands. See, here's the thing. Slander and defamation, it's draining. It's very, very draining. How many people have lost their reputation because somebody said something that was untrue? And regardless if it was untrue or not, the media blew it up, okay? And they lost their job, some have lost their family, all this because of some slanderous accusation that was brought up. It's tough. I still think sometimes what we need to do is what Billy Graham did. Even when the situation was true, you remember that when our dear brother Baker made some very big errors and found himself in prison, who visited him? Billy Graham went to see him in prison. And he says that Billy came around him and says, you're my brother. Can we have that same attitude? Because here's the thing. None of you sitting here is without sin. Anybody here without sin? No. None of us are. We all mess up. And we all need each other. So can I encourage you, when people even slander, don't believe the slander. Be there to stand with them and pray, if nothing else, with them. See, the interesting is the enemy did not give up. He did not give up with defamation. It led to intimidation. Verse 10 says this. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah or whatever, son of Mehetabel. Why did they have to have such difficult names? Who was shut in at his home. He said, let us meet in the house of God inside the temple and let us close the temple doors because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you. Now, Shemaiah was probably a priest or a prophet at that time. And what had happened is that he had taken himself and had locked himself into his house, locked the door, and sent word to Nehemiah saying, Nehemiah, we're in trouble. You got to come. You got to come quick. Nehemiah, they're trying to kill us. Nehemiah, don't you understand? We got to run, man. We got to run to the church. We got to lock ourselves up in the church. We got to jump on a boat, go to Canada or something. But we got to get out of here because they're trying to harm us. Look, Nehemiah, my legs are shaking. We got to go now. He was a reputable person in the community, this guy, Shemaiah. This was somebody that people respected. It's interesting what Nehemiah responded, how he responded. Verse 11, should a man like me run away Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Listen, verse 12. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Actually, in one commentary that I read, what this priest was saying to Nehemiah was, Nehemiah, let's go to the temple and let's take it over. Like, you could be the priest. Let's go one step further. I'm not sure if that was the case, but the truth was he was calling for Nehemiah to run. And it wasn't just him, actually. If you go later on to verse 14, there was a prophetess, Neodai, and the rest of the prophets. There was a group of people that were saying to Nehemiah, man, you got to give this up. You got to run, man. This is not good what you're doing. God spoke to me and told me. How many have heard that phrase? God said to me that you need to blah, 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 blah. Right? My favorite was a guy in when I was growing up. I may have told the story before. A guy that when I was growing up in the church in Chilliwack came to a lady and said, God said to me, you need to marry me. And she said, God didn't say it to me. See, here's the thing. There may be some very prestigious people in your life. There may be people that may have the power, that may have the authority, that may have the coin, that may have the prestige, that are talking to you. But if it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, and if it doesn't line up with the impressions that God has put on your heart, then you got to avoid it. Just because someone is in a prestigious place doesn't mean that he is somebody we should be listening to. This last week. Just check the box. This last week, I heard that our wonderful prime minister met with Bill Nye, the science guy. Hallelujah. We do need to pray even more for Justin. But it's interesting that he met with Bill Nye because if you don't know who Bill Nye is, he's a children's scientist guy. And I don't know if Justin was trying to get wisdom from him. I didn't see the interview. I saw it from a distance, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not going there. But I'm not sure what his intentions was. But if he was trying to get wisdom from this guy, Bill Nye is the guy that believes that we didn't evolve, but we came from Mars. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. We will find life on Mars because that's where it all started. See, just because somebody has a prestigious position doesn't necessarily mean that they are speaking the word of truth to you. So, folks, there are liars out there. There are liars out there, and beware. You know how you are aware is if you get to know the truth and you get to know it well. Well, in the end, they were persistent. Nehemiah was persistent. I love verse 15. It says this. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. Remember that. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were what? Were afraid and lost their self-confidence. Come on, let's just camp there for just a second. All our enemies were, the nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. Why? Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Come on, that is good stuff. That is really good stuff. That's the kind of stuff you should be underlining in your Bible. Now, I want you to understand something. Jerusalem was overthrown by the Babylonians in 587 approximately BC. The walls surrounding Jerusalem laid in ruins for 145 years. 145 years. Now get this. Under Nehemiah's leadership, these walls were completed in how long? 52 days. That's just a little bit over a month and a half, if you know the math, right? Under 2 months. Just under 2 months. And I want you to know, we put this up as a display, by the way. If you're wondering why this stuff is up here, it's not because we don't know where to store our tools. This is a display to kind of show the building of the wall. Now, it wasn't like this. It wasn't a couple of bricks just kind of stacked on top of each other. Let me tell you what the wall of Jerusalem looked like, okay? And I researched this, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me. See, it wasn't just some picket fence. It was 4 kilometers long, okay? An average height of 12 meters. That's 40 feet high, okay? And an average thickness of 2.5 meters or 8 feet thick. This is a wall, folks. This is not some few bricks put on top of each other. 52 days. Now that is crazy, wild, awesome. I mean, if that, it blows me away to think what they accomplished. But see, that's persistence. Now let me ask you something, folks. What is God asking you to be persistent in? What is God talking to you about to not give up? You can look at it and you go, man, it's 4 kilometers of wall. I can't do it. Man, I'm talking 40 feet. Are you kidding me? 8 feet thick? Come on. If God is in it, how many of you know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Do you believe that? You better, because it's in the Word of God. We can do all, if God is in it, man, we can get it done in 52 days. Whatever it is that God is calling us to do, but you need to be persistent and stay the course. How many of you know that when you're persistent, so is the enemy? Yeah, see, they were afraid. They were afraid, but they were not going to give up. Look at verse 17. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. Verse 19, moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said, and Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. So there is stuff going on behind the scenes. They're saying, man, we're going to still try to undermine him. We're still going to try to undercut him. Even when you're in times of victory, the enemy's still there. He's still there. And he's still trying to deceive and to corrupt and to bring you down. But I love what Nehemiah did. I love what he did. In chapter 7, it lays it out. And you need to go read it for yourself in chapter 7. It's a genealogy. It's a list of different people that Nehemiah brought into the city. He says, here's what I'm going to do. He says, this city is not populated enough. We don't have the right people here, so let's bring them in. Let's bring them in. So he started bringing them in, left, right, and center. He brought in those people that were commerce people, that could work, that would start businesses within the city. He brought in people that loved God and would worship together. He surrounded himself with very good people. And sometimes that's exactly what that's exactly what we need to do. We need to surround ourselves with people that will hold us up. And we'll say, man, I got the same vision you got. We can do this. We can finish this wall. Those guys are saying that stuff. It's nonsense, man. I'm not going to believe it. I'm standing with you. That's what family is about. That's what church is about. That's what you're about. See, here's the thing, folks. There is a liar out there that is trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's very real, and he is relentless. But how many of you know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? Come on. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we got to believe that. We got to hold on to that. We got to encourage each other in that. When people are saying dumb things about us or about you or about your church or about your work, remember, the enemy's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the second part of John 10:10 is what? Jesus said, what? I've come that you may have life. And how much life? Abundant life. Life more abundant. So stand on this truth. He is in you. And when the lies start flying and people start saying things, can you stand on this truth? Can you stand on the realization that God is for you? Who can be against you? I'm going to call Steve up and the band at this time. And we're going to We're going to close in a little bit, but I want us in this closing moment, see, because I believe that there may be those in this room that have been hit with stuff that is lies of the enemy, discouragement, just junk, and you're sitting there and you're going, I don't know how much more I can take. If you've gone through something like that, can I just tell you that God loves you so much, and so do we as a church, and we are here to stand with you. So if you have gone through some stuff, even this week, and you're sitting there going, God, I don't know how much more I can take. I feel there's been things thrown at me. Maybe somebody has said stuff about you. Maybe you felt discredited. Whatever it is, and you are sitting there going, God, I need help here. There may be just one or two of you in the room, or maybe more. If that's you, can you put up your hand for just a second? Anybody? I see that one hand. I see another hand here. I see another hand there. Okay, can I ask you to do one more thing? You're not alone. You're not alone. And you shouldn't have to do this alone. Can I ask you to, and I'm not trying to embarrass those hands that went up, but I want you to know you're part of a family. Can I just get you to stand up? And what the reason I want you to stand up, because I want you to know you don't stand alone. Can I get you to stand up? And I want you to look at the people. Come on, stand up. I want you, folks, I want you to gather around these people. They need your prayer. This is your family. So let's all stand up. Come on. And if you're there's somebody else back there. Maria's back there as well. Can I get you to surround them? They need your prayer. They need your prayer. We've got Hazel up here, Shane there. We've got Jemima there. Maria's back there. Please surround them. If there's anybody else here that says, man, I sure need people to pray for me right now. Just put up your hand if I haven't seen you. Okay. Yeah, right up here. If we can surround, that'd be great. It's Rom, right? Yeah. Okay. So if we can get somebody surround Tim and pray for Peter here as well. Surround Tim. He's standing on behalf of Peter. Father, you see the situations, the circumstances that these beautiful people are facing. Whatever it has been that has come against them, the challenge, the difficulty, the overwhelming circumstance, Lord, you're bigger. You're bigger. You're bigger. You're greater. Your love goes far wider than the widest valley that we have to face. And God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, would you just embrace these folks with your love? Would you surround them with your peace? Would you fill them with joy? Would you fill them with that freedom, that understanding that you are not letting them go? And Father, as your people surround them right now and are interceding on their behalf, I pray, God, you would hear their prayers. And Lord, we would see miracles. We would see releases. We would see provision. We would see, God, that which is necessary to raise these folks up once again. But help them not give up, God. Help them not to give up. They know not how close they are, to an answer to their dilemma. It's right around the corner. So Father, I pray they would press through and that you would provide. So we pray this in Jesus' name, asking for your divine intervention in your name. Amen.